Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast right here at Highland Park Baptist Church in Panama City with Pastor Stephen Kyle. So, man, how's it going?
It's good.
I know that we met last week and talked through stuff, but it feels like it's been a minute. I don't know why. Maybe it's just my brain. Anyway, how's it going? Life good?
It's good. It's we've had a couple of cool mornings around here, which is awesome. I'd love to have some cool afternoons. You know, you start 58 in the morning, and by 12:30, it's like 82.
Yeah.
It's
perfect Jeep weather.
Perfect Jeep weather.
Yeah, man. Take the doors off. Well,
you got your toboggan on, don't you?
Yeah. Coming to work and church, you know, I have to wear a jacket because, you know, going down the highway at 70 miles an hour, 50 degrees is a little chilly. But, man, afternoons, it's so good.
Highways, you drive 55 miles an hour, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just going with the flow of traffic, Pastor Stephen. You know, I don't want to inhibit other people or cause danger.
Okay.
So I go with everybody else.
I was going to say, the highways I come in the morning, you're going like 40.
Well, maybe I exaggerate a little bit. We'll say 60. Still, it's cold.
60's moving, though, in the morning.
Yeah.
It is, and you... it just makes you miss jacket weather.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of jacket weather around here. So, but, you know, I mean, we just find something else to complain about.
That's true.
It's too cold. It's too cold. We're ready for it to get hot. So, anyway, but, it's good. Good. Kid was the baby, the 17-year-old, was in homecoming last week. Mm. So his schedule pretty much dictated the week.
Yeah.
And we said, well, we'll get the car for he and the girl, the escort, actually won the homecoming queen. Now, he didn't win king, but she won homecoming queen. And so we're sitting there, you need to get a good convertible and all this kind of stuff, and talk to the godfather at the church.
Yeah.
And got the candy red, that's a Mercedes. And convertible Mercedes. And we show up at this is a new school that my son's at, that Reed's at. And we show up there, and they probably had, I'm just going to, let's say 50 cars that were in it, and 48 were pickup trucks or wreckers.
Wreckers?
Yeah, like tow trucks. They would put like the cheerleaders would be on a tow truck. This is a country school. And so I'm like, we could have put our trucks in this. I mean, their trucks just had some lawn chairs in the back, and people just sitting in them, and here we are. You know, it was like a fish out of water. I mean, we come rolling. I mean, there was a portion of the parade where we actually went on a sand dirt road.
Mm. Maybe that's why the girl won homecoming.
They felt sorry for her?
No, because she was in a convertible.
Probably
Mercedes.
So. Yeah, and I was driving. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe it. Probably not, but anyway, I'm just like, we just really didn't think this through. Because, the last school he was at, they have no trucks. And so this one, there you go. But he's a senior, so we won't have to worry about that
one.
Again. The last one, no doubt. So there you go. I mean, it would be a miraculous.
It's a big year, you know? You got a grandbaby coming, and then the baby graduating.
So. I bought him. So this week I bought him his first volunteer Tennessee Vols bib. We're ready for him.
Did it say Rocky Pop on it?
Not Rocky Pop, no. But we're getting his stuff ready. It's coming.
Pastor Pop.
Pastor Pop.
Pastor Pop.
Yeah, Pastor Pop. Yeah. Whatever he wants to call. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of things happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're walking through the book of Daniel. A lot of folks last week, still trying to do the math, get it all figured out.
Yeah.
So,
I've had some people tell me they went home and like studied.
Yeah.
They had, because they wanted to catch up and just,
because they wanted to catch me.
Well, just no, just figure out, like, you know, make sure they understand, right. Because sometimes, like, I mean, and you know, understanding the room, like, you got to say some things, and you say it quickly, and or you say it quickly, and it just kind of moves through, and so yeah, they they just told me they went back and like kind of looked through some things just to make sure they understood it.
I found that if you overwhelm with information and do it very quickly,
it must be. Wow, he's super intelligent.
Must be. No, Sir, I can't remember his first name. Templeton is the guy who kind of, he was the leading expert on doing all this math and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, it wasn't anything that I sat down and tried to figure out. You do kind of double check because you throw something out there, you're like, well, I don't want to seem like an idiot.
But you've had people come to you and bring you material saying, hey, we know when Jesus is coming back. And, like, here's all the math that I've done.
Right.
And here's all the research I've done.
Right.
And
I always say, tell me the date. When they you know, they tell me, I'm like, I can guarantee you it's not going to be then.
Yeah.
It will not be that date, I can promise you.
Yeah.
And they want to stand before the church and kind of share that. And I'm like, no. Well, I got a message for the church. I'm like, no, if the church is going to get a message, it's coming from this guy right here.
Yeah.
So, no, we're not going to do that. So, but yeah, the Daniel thing it's verified by history as far as, when the Messiah would be cut off, all those kinds of things. It doesn't say on April the 7th, 2028, Jesus is coming back. But it does kind of gives you an idea where you can look around at things that are in the world and kind of know the season and the time. I mean, you look around now, it wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me for him to come back today. I know Journey's got a big men's event coming up and a lot of planning and a lot of stuff that's going in. And if the Lord came back tonight, he'd probably be like, we don't have to worry about all that anymore, right? And then I guess the lost would have to figure out what to do with 1,000 pounds worth of wild game meat.
Probably more than that.
Probably so. I don't know. They have a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Bunch of stuff. So
What all types of meat are going to be had tomorrow?
Venison, wild hog, gator, catfish.
Orc?
No orc this year.
No orc?
No.
That's like a staple for years.
No, we hadn't.
I'll be honest.
Somebody did a little poaching, and so the orc population has gone down.
Well, I'm not crying. There's no orc. I wasn't an orc. Orc meatloaf.
But
it's nasty.
But no, it's venison meatloaf, and it was fantastic last year. I think it'll be good again.
You need some venison chili.
Well, 4,000 we can always use one
chili
more on the crew.
4,000 guys.
But I can make some chili now. You know, I got typecast for several years. I would pull the hogs.
Ugh,
and, man, it gets so hot. My hands, you know, they give you these little flimsy gloves, like from the kitchen. It gets so...
I remember the first year I was here.
Yeah.
You said, Ryan, come on. And, like, I had to stand by you, and we pulled those hogs.
Yeah.
Like, my initiation to Highland Park Baptist Church, Beast Feast.
Yeah, it's been given. I mean, that somebody took that job, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
No, maybe we went a couple years without hogs. I can't remember.
Yeah, we hadn't had a whole hog in a while.
Yeah, is this whole hog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is like wild boar.
The whole hog was just too hard to cook.
Are we having shark? Some coyote?
We're not. No. No. Ryan didn't bring us no coyote. No, as far as I know, he's never killed one.
Oh, whatever. Daniel chapter 10.
What about snake?
Let's
we have some snake?
We didn't get any snake donated snake. This year.
You know that guy who used to come down and make that huge pot of gumbo? You know, he passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah. Man, we are going to have gumbo for the first time since then.
I look forward to that.
Not for the Beast Feast.
Just for the workers, the helpers. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like a seafood gumbo?
I think it was a jambalaya. Shrimp.
Yeah, he did jambalaya.
Jambalaya.
Yeah, okay.
Daniel chapter 10.
All right, we wasted enough time talking about your event, Journey. We need to move on. We got... It's serious stuff to talk
the
about.
The title of this one is Seeing Jesus Face to Face, man.
Yeah.
And, just like you say, a majority of the time as you're looking through Scripture, especially with prophecy, just reminding people that the whole Bible is about Jesus. And, he's the most majestic being ever. And, man, just, It's really, again, just a good reminder. I like reminders. I think it's a great reminder.
Well, when I laid this out originally, I was going to cover most of chapter 10 together. And it's almost like the veil is peeled back and you get a glimpse of Jesus, prayer, spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And then as I started breaking it down a little bit more, I'm like, you know, let's just focus on this vision that he has of Jesus. Yeah. And we'll deal with the prayer and spiritual warfare later. And it worked out good time wise, but it's almost like Daniel gives us, after just such really weighted prophecy, right. It's almost like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you who I saw. And I love, you know, just it's almost verbatim to some degree of what John saw. And, you know, there are folks that have even said, well, you know, John was just writing what Daniel had written.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Then he threw in Paul, though.
Well, Paul as well. Yeah. Paul could have read Daniel. He hadn't read John because John had not been written.
Right.
But the way he experienced it, the experience. Yeah. And we laugh and kid all the time because folks are like, I had a guy the other day, you know, just like, you know, when. Man, that'll be a question I'll ask Jesus when I get to heaven. I always laugh because I'm like, you are not going to be asking a question. Every instance you see of anybody having a pre-incarnate experience with Christ or even after that, you know, they fall down like dead people because the overwhelming Shekinah glory, almost like a grenade going off.
Yeah.
And you could try to stand there all day and you're just going to be knocked down. I like the fact that Daniel's like, man, I mean, it drove me down. I was like face down.
Mm-hmm.
I was just laying there face down.
Well, Moses says the same thing.
Yeah.
Like he was face down on the ground. Like it, again, just shows the glory and the majesty of who God is and God revealing himself in that way to these guys. And
well, and if you're reading the Bible, or if you know you're part of a Bible study, or part of a, you know, if you're in a church and you have all this stuff, and you never hear anything about Jesus, I'm gonna say you need to read it again, because the entire Bible, as you said, testifies about Jesus, and we'll look at the flip side of it. If it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't read the Bible.
Right.
I got no time for that.
Right.
You know, but Jesus changes everything. And I love, again, I just love the fact that he kind of lays it out. You know, folks even ask me, so do you believe that when he saw it looking like this? I would say yes. Did something get lost in translation? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, trying to describe, you know, and if we saw what he saw today, this vision of Jesus, we'd probably describe it different just because the words are different.
Yeah.
The advancements are different. But at the end of the day, it would all be the same thing. And I just like some of the symbolic stuff there.
Yeah.
That reveals to us that of who Christ is.
Well, and we can touch on the symbolic of some of these characteristics that were visible, but I kind of want to get to the end of your sermon.
What kind of Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I borrowed that from somewhere. Honestly, I don't even know where it came from.
I
read that years ago, and I whenever I get illustrations or I read something, I'm like, oh, that's good. I'll go ahead and I'll copy or, you know, I'll type or cut out or do whatever, and I just stick it in either an electronic file or a real file.
Yeah.
I forgot I even had that thing. And as just this week, I'm scrolling through, and you know, I see a title, "Who is the real Jesus?" And I'm like, well, what is that? And it was a paragraph that I'd had there, and I'm like, oh, I like that. I didn't use all of it, but I'm like, it sounds so practical to where we find ourselves, how people want to make Jesus fit into their little categories.
Well, you make a great statement towards the end of your sermon that I kind of want to talk through. But let's look at some of these visible characteristics, and we can go through those pretty quickly. You know, you talk about the royal clothing. You talk about his remarkable body and his radiant face. You know, so these are all, just to clarify, these are all what Daniel saw in his vision.
Yeah, Daniel, and then we cross-referenced it with John, what John saw in Revelation, and the wording may be just a little bit different, but pretty much the visions are the same. John talks about the white hair, and, you know, you look at what people think of God, you know, here's God, he's wearing a robe, it's a white robe, it symbolizes his purity, he's got the golden sash on, and he's got the white hair, a white linen robe would constitute, you know, the holiness and the purity and the wisdom, and that's kind of the symbolic meaning there. But I really didn't even touch on that because Daniel really doesn't talk. He just says he's got a linen robe on. Doesn't say the word white or anything along those lines. But he does focus on the fact, man, he's got a golden belt around his waist.
Yeah.
John talks about the golden sash, and in ancient time, I mean, now anybody can wear gold.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel. As a matter of fact, if Journey wanted to wear a gold belt, I'd buy him one. You know, he could wear it around, and
I mean,
you're in.
It matches gold chains.
What to find? Well, I mean, how about this gold like maybe one of those good old fox gold belts, FAUX, a fox gold belt. Today you don't have to be royalty. Back then, there's only one.
Yeah.
You had to be regal and royal. You're king. And so the fact that he's wearing that, I think he's just making sure, hey, this is who he is, man. If there ever was a king, he is the king.
Yeah.
So simple things that remind us who he is.
And then the resolute eyes and the reassuring arms. Again, like even with the radiant face, just the
remarkable body.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, again, things that beyond anything that we can imagine. The whole radiance that kind of brightly comes from his face. We see that in Paul or Saul and Damascus Road. We see that here with John as well as Daniel, and just overwhelming, again, the glory of God. And the remarkable body, you know, he's using chrysolite or beryl is what the New King James, but when you actually study it out in the original Hebrew, it's talking about this stone that they considered more valuable than even diamonds, just this translucent. And it was so rare and unique, only the extremely wealthy or kings could have something like that. And so he says, that's the body that I saw. And when, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, okay, but the body of Christ is the church. The body of Christ is and just trying to make that connection there of, well, yeah, I mean, even though we're imperfect, he says through him and his grace, man, no, I mean, you're a new creation and you're beautiful, man.
Yeah.
The church is beautiful. The body of Christ is beautiful, and remarkable is the word that I use because that's kind of how it's described there in the original Hebrew language. But just amazing characteristics when you sit here and you look at how he describes it all, just letting us know, as you said, and I said many times in the sermon, the majestic Jesus, that's who he is. Eyes that can see all the way through you, eyes that can read your mind, eyes that knows the real you, and yet these strong arms that, man, you know, I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Man, I'll wrap these arms around you and I'll love you and I'll, you can find safety in these arms.
Yeah.
And then the voice, I mean, again, just things that you're like, it's almost like Daniel sitting there and he's like, okay, what is the highest possible way to describe what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
And that's this vision, Jesus, but I believe we've seen this over and over again all throughout the book of Daniel.
Yeah, yeah. So moving, you know, with our last few minutes that we have, you know, you make a statement talking about the real Jesus. How many people know the real Jesus? Talking about how we, you know, we craft our own Jesus. But, you know, you make this statement like this Christ, this Jesus is not a projection of our current mood. And I just thought that was a great point because if we look at culture, we look at, you know, things going on in individuals, we look at things, even people trying to, study scripture and they don't understand it and they come up with their own doctrine, It really is. We're trying to cultivate Jesus into something that we want him to be. And you know, going back to your Wednesday series in context several weeks ago, how we take so many things out of context. Well, this, I think this kind of goes along because the culture is trying to create Jesus into what we want. And a lot of times it's wrong. And
yeah, I go back to the, you know, the little poem that doesn't rhyme. So it's hard for me to call a poem that doesn't rhyme a poem or a poem. But it's $3 worth of God. Please. It's kind of the same thing. Hey, I want enough God I want enough Jesus to keep me out of hell. I want enough Jesus to give me abundant life, but don't change me. Don't make me give up bad habits. Don't make me love people that I don't really care for.
Yeah.
Don't require me to be a good steward. You could just keep going day in and day out. So, I'll take this part of Jesus, but I don't want that part of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you can't. No, it's you take him as he is, or you don't take him at all.
Yeah.
And that's true when it comes to anybody. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Take him as he is. But we have, and you know, in the consumer world that we live in, it's have it your own way, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna. This is the Jesus that I believe in. Well, no, there's one Jesus, and it's the biblical Jesus. It's the Jesus that we read about here, and I always find it interesting. Just somebody did is they just put words to this as far as these categories, and you're like, man, that is so true. That is so true how we want to just latch these certain characteristics that are found nowhere biblically when it comes to Christ. And it's about us taking him and shaping him and crafting him into this, I'm going to say, figment of our imagination, because there is no such thing. And there's just not an option there when it comes to that. Yeah, and I made the statement, you know, that Jesus Christ is not a reflection of our current mood, I think is what I said. And he's not also a projection of our own desires.
Yeah.
The argument can be made, and I think it's a very legit argument. I mean, if you're embracing anything but the biblical Christ, you're not embracing Christ.
Yeah.
You don't know the real Christ.
And I guess to me that's the fear. You know, because there's so many conversations about the doctrinal and theological things, and we can stretch all these things so many different ways. And people are starting to do that with how they view Jesus. They're taking certain characteristics, or they're taking certain stories out of the Bible, and they're stretching it to the point where, no, like you're trying to remove the holiness and the majestic nature of who Jesus is, and you're trying to make it into. And it's frustrating as a teacher. As a, you know, especially a staff member, as you're trying to, or a church employee, as you're trying to minister to people, and they just have this very skewed view of who Jesus is, it is frustrating. So I'm glad that you said that the way that you did. I'm glad that you kind of, you know, you spent some time on this, and even, you know, even this list of the types of Jesus that we try to make.
My favorite one, there's boyfriend Jesus.
Yeah.
Who wraps his arms around us as we sing about the intoxicating love in our secret place. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of songs that come to mind in that word, intoxicating love. Yeah. And I tell our music guys all the time, I'm like, look, let's sing about Jesus, but I don't want it to be so abstract to where people are sitting there. Okay, is he singing about his girlfriend, his wife, or is he singing about Jesus there? I think it's a danger because we've even stated this before in here, the view that I have of God or the view that I have of Jesus, my understanding of Jesus is going to shape my entire world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if I have a faulty view of who Jesus Christ is, then I can't have anything else right. And I have to remember that, again, Jesus is not a genie in a bottle, right? Well, you know, I really need something. I'm going to rub it real hard, and he's going to come out, and he's going to give me what I need, and then he can go back in there, and I'll let him know when I need him again. It's not, you know, a lot. Some folks out there would sit there and say, well, you know, God is something that was created by man because of the need to have someone beyond them. No, God's the one who created man. And it's not something for us, or it is not a trinket that we play around with, or he's not something that that we can change. I mean, he makes it very clear. Man, I'm the same God today as I was yesterday, right? I'll be the same God tomorrow. So it's not God existing for us. It is us being created and existing for God. And so I've got to have a right view. And so I would encourage anybody, you know, you sit there and when you start thinking of the understanding or the view that I have of God, if that's not based in Scripture, then you've got a faulty view.
Yeah.
So dig into Scripture. See what Scripture has to say about God. We know that He is absolutely holy.
Yeah.
He is just. Clearly, He hates sin.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean He hates the sinner. And even that's come against attack recently.
Yeah.
Well, you can't separate sin and the sinner.
Yeah.
Well, to me, God did.
Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
And I just sometimes in our pursuit for knowledge, and please hear me, I'm not against knowledge. I'm not against biblical knowledge. I think we should all, be digging into the Bible more than we're digging into the Bible. But sometimes in our pursuit for knowledge, we lose our own common sense. And we try to manufacture something that Scripture has never given us.
Yeah.
And that is a dangerous, dangerous place to find yourself in because it will radically affect your worldview. So we talk about a Christian worldview all the time. And it used to be that was a safe word to say, a Christian worldview. Yeah. Everybody understood, well, you're talking about looking at everything through the lens of Jesus. I would say that is a good thing, provided you've got the right lens of Jesus.
Right.
Because if you've got the wrong lens of Jesus, then again, it's all going to be perverted.
Yeah.
And so give me a good understanding of who He is. And I would say this, anytime I try to exalt myself, that's going to be faulty.
Yeah.
It's about God getting glory and Jesus being exalted through me. Again, I go back to, we've talked about this book many times, Experiencing God by Blackaby, that has been around for probably 40 years at least. I don't know when it was written, but they've had some updates to it. But that's kind of some of the main things that he talks about there. Hey, when you talk about the will of God in your life, who is that to bring glory for? If it's to bring glory for you, then that's probably not God's will for your life.
Mm.
It's to bring glory to Himself. Yeah. Is it to make you comfortable? And again, I get this faulty thing, you know, just like I've had folks that have said over the years, well, I know God wants me to be happy.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, I can't go with that statement. And then all that folks are like, so no, God's a good father. God does want you to be happy. You should walk that back. And so I would say this, yes, I think God is for your happiness, provided that your happiness is in relation to who God is, not to who you are.
Mm.
That when your happiness is built on temporary things or self-gratification or whatever it may be, that's not the happiness that He's for. He is for a happiness that says, I find my happiness in Jesus Christ being known, in Jesus Christ transforming me, and a daily surrender unto Christ. So I just challenge, how do you define happiness?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the better way to say
it.
I don't know. I get in trouble all the time, things that I say, and I say it very dogmatically, and folks are like, well, you know, if you make the statement that God doesn't want you to be happy, you don't know the same God that I know. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Tell me the God that you know.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but it's all, you know, it gives us a beautiful picture. Here's who Jesus Christ is. Don't lose sight. He's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, pretty big deal.
You know, the meek and mild Jesus. Yeah. Oh, come on, friend. Yeah. No, he's King of Kings. He is more powerful than anything we can think of.
Yeah.
Anything at all that has ever been or will ever be.
Yeah.
Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the healer of our soul.
Yeah.
Who speaks and it happens.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful. Mm.
Well, Daniel's been so good, man. It's just been so neat to see how it all works together and pointing to Jesus. So as we always say here, man, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and pointing us to the truth of Scripture. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.